Welcome to the Half Hour Happy Hour. Your chance to sit back, have a drink, and listen to some insightful musings, funny anecdotes, the occasional rant, and an all-too-frequent Bruce Willis reference. Join Jen, Justin, and Jer in hoisting a beverage or three, picking apart topics of the day and explaining how things came to be the way they are. It's one part educational, one part bacchanal, best served over ice with a healthy dose of wit and a twist of cynicism.
So it's that magic time again. It's the half-hour happy hour time. Huzzah! And today we've got dwarf tossing. I said it right this time. Yay! and stuff from outer space and robots and cartoons and human feces. So it's going to be an awesome
that
show.
That is a great blend of things, I guess.
But you know what makes everything just so much better?
Beer.
Very well done. Funk, tell us about our selection for today.
So we've concluded our sampling of Lazy Magnolia. Thanks again to Vance and Lazy, you know, Magnolia. They didn't have anything to do with giving us the beer, but they brewed it and it was good.
And they existed.
They existed,
and for which we are grateful.
And we seemed to be fans of everything that we tried. It was pretty good beer all around. So if you're ever, you know, around that area, check it out. This week we are having it's called Life and Limb. And it's actually a collaborative effort between Sierra Nevada and Dogfish Head. It's 10% alcohol by volume. It's a nice, strong, dark beer, brewed with pure maple syrup. And you can taste the syrup. And when you drink it, it's quite good. It's a very interesting flavor.
It's dark. It's sweet. It fills up your mouth. And it's a beer to have with pancakes. Very much a fan.
Yep. But it's pretty cool. It's, you know, like I said, it's a collaborative effort. They've got both of their house strains of yeast is brewed in it. It's bottle conditioned and then naturally carbonated with birch syrup fresh from Alaska. So it's got kind of a double dose of syrup there on the front and the back. Yep.
I like when smart kids play nice together.
Yep. Yep. So it's pretty good stuff. So let's have a drink.
That is a tasty little beer. What do you guys think?
I think I voiced my opinion. It's quite yummy.
Yeah, I would definitely have another.
Oh, agreed. Good drink there. Yeah, that's a 3 for 3.
Yep.
Well played, guys.
Good stuff. So we'll take a special little minute here. I think being the nerds and geeks that we are, we'd be remiss if we didn't mention the news of the past. I guess when this airs, it'll be about a week and a half ago. But Steve Jobs passed at age 56, I think it was.
Thereabouts, yeah.
Pretty young, actually, you know, relatively speaking. And of course, you know, the iconic leader of Apple, you know, passing is pretty big news. And I don't know. I mean, me personally, you know, I've got my own opinions about Apple products and the way the business has been run recently. I'm just going to be interested to see how things go from here, because I think Apple in the recent, you know, past has been really reliant on the charisma and the showmanship that he brought.
Right.
So now that he's not there to as effectively spin their offerings, I'll be interested to see what happens. You know, and they just announced what the iPhone 4S, which
right.
is a little underwhelming.
Well, it's really funny, and I've been thinking about this. Let's assume they would have called this phone the iPhone 5.
Right.
Everybody would have been complaining that, oh my God, there's nothing new about nothing it. New. It looks exactly the same as the iPhone 4. You know, they really should have called it something iPhone 4 in a different variation.
Right.
The entire guts of the thing are all new. I mean, it's got more RAM. It's got a better processor. It's got all kinds of great stuff on the inside that you can't see.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, calling it a 4S, just everybody was annoyed.
Right.
Calling it a 5 would have pissed off a whole other section of people.
Yeah,
so, I mean, it was just a sad
thing. I'm just not a fan of the scheduled release of hardware.
Yeah.
You know, that you have to release a new phone just because it's been, you know, it's been a year. You gotta sell them something.
Well, that's the problem with a closed system.
Right.
You know, yes, Jen?
I'm holding my iPad in my hands right now. I'm sitting next to my 3G phone and I've been dying. I've been waiting. My phone is a brick. It's been 2.5 years. The only reason it's still alive is OtterBox for the win.
Mm-hmm.
But it's an amazing phone. It's just slowed down and it's horrendous. So I've been like chugging along waiting for whatever came out next. And it's on order. It's going to be delivered soon. Hopefully soon now, please God. but by the time you guys hear this, I'll have it and it'll be amazing.
You hope.
Yeah.
And
with Siri beta.
Yeah, I'm going to talk to it. I'm going to be like, yo, phone, show me where the taco's at. And supposedly it will know. I'm really excited to test the boundaries of this new technology. So I'm excited. I mean, and there were rumors about it being bigger, stronger, faster, whatever. Like,
it is.
I don't want it to be thinner. I'm going to break it.
Right.
I mean, seriously.
Well, no. I mean, case wise, it's the same exact phone as the 4.
Same 4 yep. factor.
Yeah. Which is fine. But the inside has a dual core, like 1.2 gigahertz processor. It's, in theory, it's supposed to have a gig of RAM on board, but that's unconfirmed. So, I mean, it's a hell of a piece of hardware. I'm not going to lie, but that's great.
Yeah.
And unless you want to put a widget on it right. or yeah, you know, change the text ringtones.
Right. Yeah, then you're out of luck.
Yeah,
or change the battery. You know, right. They can't really do that either. So
micro SD card.
Going back to the Steve Jobs thing, I wanted to save this and show this to you guys because it's the cover in the New Yorker.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen this?
No.
It's St. Peter checking in Steve Jobs at the pearly gates on an iPad.
Okay.
How do we feel about this? Go.
I have no feelings. The New Yorker is always kind of little. Yeah, they stretch.
Yeah, the 3G was known as the Jesus phone when it first came out because everybody just thought it could walk on water. Right. But yeah, that's a little heavy. I think.
I thought it was pushing it. As a matter of fact, I thought it was so rough that I was like, I need to find some picture to wipe that out of my memory. And I found a Greyhound in an AT-AT costume.
Absolutely.
No, that's great. It's
that's
a
awesome.
Picture of a dog in an AT-AT costume. Yeah, it was pretty awesome.
Yes. I almost want a big dog just so I can get that costume. There's going to be a run at the Humane Society on large dogs right before Halloween.
Actually, I found, my parents have a stupid chihuahua, and I found a costume that's actually a T-Rex, and it has this tiny little short arms attached to it, and it's the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen in my life. And I kind of just want to make, I'm almost tempted to spend money to watch that stupid dog run around in stupid costume with stupid little arms.
Well, from the Star Wars perspective, I saw one that's an Ewok, but it's just an Ewok when the dog is sitting there, so it's the head and the front forearms.
Ooh, creepy.
And little arms sticking out of the side. Very cute, but yeah.
Chihuahuas aren't cute enough to be Ewoks.
No.
Moving on.
And they,
how do you follow that?
And they blink.
Uh-huh. I've got so get into the you know the regular stories now. I've got a great headline. Tell me what do you guys think of when you hear this headline? Microsoft files for body scan patent to know when you're ready to watch porn.
I'm sorry, what?
That's awesome.
when I read that and I was like, wow, their extremity tracking algorithm has got to be a lot more robust than I thought it was.
Right.
No, but really what it is they're filing for a patent for the Kinect sensor to be able
absolutely
to use an algorithm. No, but it's not about extremity tracking. It's basically looking at your body size and type to determine your age. So if you're old enough to watch mature content, things like that.
Oh.
Not, oh, I'm ready to watch some porn. It's, you know, age appropriate content, that kind of thing.
Not nearly as cool.
Yeah.
How would that work in women?
I don't know. I mean,
if the extremity tracking, like how would that?
And it's not the extremity tracking.
The sheer look of frustration on your face was totally worth it. Thank you for that.
And I don't know, maybe if it's fine enough, the little turkey baster is going off, it'll pick
up. Wow. You can't see his motions, but he's been doing inappropriate things with his fingers for the last 30 seconds. Wow.
Hey, you asked.
I did ask. I was being a little rhetorical. Whatever.
You got to be careful about that.
Well, speaking of extremities.
Okay.
Uh-oh.
They gave monkeys robotic limbs.
Mm.
It's very exciting.
Yeah, I saw some of that.
But it's a brain implant that allows the monkeys to control them, but also sense like texture and
feel stuff,
manipulate 3D objects. And the idea is in 2014, they want to release. Where is this happening? I don't remember where it's happening. But in 2014 at the World Cup, the Brazilian team walks onto the field. They want them to have accompaniments of two quadriplegic teenagers who will walk onto the pitch and kick the ball using this crazy robotic brain implant technology.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
Textures. That's pretty badass.
Yeah, being able to feel stuff. Well, it's the whole, you know, it's an extension of the stuff we've been talking about the past couple of weeks, you know, the brain implant where it can receive input and then pump it back out. I mean, it's that same kind of thing. Once you can get that two-way communication between the brain and a machine, I mean, the possibilities at that point are endless. You know, it's
I want a tail.
I mean, like,
but I mean, when you're talking tactile sensation,
you gotta keep in mind, it's all just nerve impulses, that it's just electrical impulses at the brain.
Well, I mean, from the input side, though, there's a robotic hand.
Yeah, you have to have some sort of sensors
that would do that. That's what I'm curious about.
The article that
it's robotic skin, and that's creepy.
Yeah, I've seen a couple of different ones. There's one that I saw where it was robotic skin, where it was almost the way it was set up was basically a sheet of almost like a layer of ball bearings. So mm-hmm. it could, you know, it wasn't perfect, but you could get a decent sense of where it was being, if it's fine enough, I mean, depending on how fine those are.
Interesting.
You can get pretty good. The other one that I read, and I think it was this week, it was talking about having the monkeys be able to feel and get texture of virtual objects. So the computer
program. So like tactile feedback.
Yeah, like a immersive virtual reality.
Wow. You know,
like feeling an object in virtual space.
And that leads us back to that Kinect thing.
No, yeah. And when you think about it, I mean, our reality is all based on perception. So once, you know.
Well, they actually, in this article, they're like, you know, imagine that you step like barefoot in a grass field. Like how much information you get from your foot? Like, is it stable? Can I take another step? Am I going to sink into it? Did I step on a bug or a snake? Or, I mean, and yeah, I'm with you. Like, how on earth can you have that much sensitivity to give that much, that level of input? Like, the ball bearings is one thing. Like, if you stepped on a rock, you would know. But you wouldn't be able to feel the grass blowing across your feet.
It depends. I mean, it depends on if it's, you know, like controlling a real world thing, like, you know, having the paraplegics walk, thing like that, right. Or if it's being immersed in a virtual world. If you're just doing immersion in a virtual world, you're going to have better.
Oh yeah.
Cause you're, you know, you're writing it from scratch. If you're controlling a robot leg, hardware input,
and changing that into, like, it would be easy to say, okay, this is a brick and this is fabric.
Right.
It would be tougher to say this is cotton, this is linen.
Yeah. But it won't. Right. I mean, I don't see it being too far off, that level of sensor technology. It's
fascinating.
Yeah. We're going to be making some leaps and bounds here pretty soon, I think, with this whole.
Speaking of leaps and bounds, is anybody like moderately concerned that we're equipping monkeys with cyborg like pieces? No? Okay. They can control these with their brain. And okay,
it's either the monkeys.
There's a Planet of the Apes joke.
The monkeys, the monkey robots, or the robots. One of them will take us over, or Skynet.
When the dolphins are creating this hardware for the monkeys, right. Then we need to be afraid. Otherwise, I think we're good.
Yep. Speaking of Skynet, did you guys see that the U.S.'s Predator and Predator and Rogue is what they're called. The drones. Yeah, got infected with a computer virus.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, basically a keylogger. And then I saw a follow-up article a couple of days later that said, oh, this might actually be monitoring software installed by the people who wrote the software for the drones, you know, kind of a maintenance kind of thing. So it might not be a virus. It might be our, you know, defense contractor might have put it there in place.
Yeah. Well, the concern is that the drones wrote it. Yeah. They want to be able to program progeny.
Or, I mean, you know, that's kind of scary if a foreign country could put a virus into our drones.
Well,
I mean,
we joked about that a long time ago with an Iranian centrifuge.
Yeah.
And it got infected by a virus. Mm-hmm. And some more information has come out on that recently.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I don't remember what it was. It wasn't at all intriguing. Our thoughts were more interesting.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was just one of those. There's this super group who's, you know, not Lulzsack or any of them, but
right. Okay.
It was doing that kind of thing to centrifuges at uranium processing plants.
Right.
And yeah, scary shit.
Huh.
But Predator drones, now that we're using them to off American citizens.
Right. Exactly.
That's kind of scary.
Yeah. Yeah. That's frightening. The whole robotic killing thing.
Yeah.
I can hear our black bags coming.
That's the thing, is they don't even need the black bags anymore. You'll just a drone will fly over and boom, we're gone. Like, we won't even know.
No more house.
Nope. Won't even hear it coming. We'll just be sitting here, la la la, boom.
Nice knowing, yeah. So if this podcast doesn't make the air one week.
Maybe we should start recording live. No, never mind. No.
I'll just go to static.
I actually read, I was just sitting in the airport putzing around, and I was reading something about the Orson Welles War of the Worlds piece and how he was actually giving us a warning about how we're abusing this world. And then he wrote The Time Traveler and a couple other pieces, again, like warnings that the technology that we're making is going to destroy us. Uh-huh. And yeah, they actually made a Skynet reference in there too.
Yep.
But we're building, they said we are the ones that are building Skynet, and yeah. It's our own fault. Mm-hmm. And
well, it's a society built on planned obsolescence.
Right.
And realistically, I mean, we've even joked about getting the meat bags out from behind the wheel of cars. We are the weakest link. Yeah. And we're just going to keep making better and better stuff that's going to go, why do we need these monkeys again?
Mm-hmm. And it'll, yeah. And at that point, it'll be a question of have we positioned ourselves in a spot to integrate with the technology? Or is the technology the new track and we're no longer around?
Right.
Speaking of tracks.
Either way, we're not going to be around in our current manifestation.
No.
Krang.
Past that point. Yeah, maybe. You never know.
Krang?
Krang Ninja Turtles?
The little pink brain that controlled the giant.
Yes, okay, thank you.
Speaking of cartoons.
Okay.
Who loves The Simpsons?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I haven't been a fan for a while. It's been going too long. 20-something years, yeah. 25 years, yeah.
All right,
hopefully not much longer. I know the headline.
So, yeah, Fox. Well, I thought you would dig this article because there's more reasons to hate Fox, but Fox won't share profits with the Simpsons actors. They basically said, we're going to have to give you a pretty significant pay cut to keep the show going. But several of the actors got together and said, okay, we'll take a more significant pay cut if you share future profits with us.
Sure.
And Fox said, piss off. Yeah. Like, there's this big long quote from the guy who plays Mr. Burns, Principal Skinner, Ned Flanders, and God only knows how many other. No, it's Harry Shearer.
Oh yeah. Hank Azaria is Moe and Chief Wiggum.
And everybody else.
Yeah.
I mean, We'll take past pay cuts because there's only really six of us that do all of the voices for everything. Really is, it's crazy. But he basically goes on to say, like, we offered and Fox just said no and they won't tell us why. And they.
Because the show's been on for 25 years. At this point, Fox is like, the show's almost done anyway. Screw you guys. We're not going to, we're not going to share it at this point. Should have thought about that 25 years ago. Seriously, like, Fox has all the cards in this situation here.
Fair enough. But
you've got a show that's been on TV for way too long.
I really like, honestly, the satire of our current society done via cartoon is probably one of my favorite media.
Yeah, I agree. I just think it's the format of the system or The Simpsons is outdated. Like, there's been, Family Guy and South Park and those kind of shows that have done the same kind of thing, just in a more modern light because it hasn't been around for 25 years.
Right. Well, and those shows take a lot less front end work.
Yeah.
Simpsons actually does all their stuff the year before. I mean, it takes a full year for production.
Yep.
For a season, whereas South Park takes like 6 weeks.
No, it's 6 days.
6 days.
Literally, like, there's documentaries and books that are 6 days to production.
Yeah.
That's what it takes them to put a show together.
That's pretty
impressive.
Yeah. Hard to compete with that.
Yep. So what do you say we get another drink? Come back with some more cool stuff?
Sounds like a plan.
So I'm going to take this lovely restful moment in between segments while the boys go fetch me a nice cold beer, sprawl out on the couch, and tell you a little bit about more where you can find me. More Jen. Because everybody needs... All right, fine. You can find them too. Jer, Justin, and Jen all together on thehalfhourhappyhour.com, facebook.com/thehalfhourhappyhour, or find us on Twitter if you have mad ADD at thehhhh. So thanks for listening, guys. And my beer arrives, so back to the show.
Okay, we've refilled our beers, and now for a former barroom enjoyment activity. It was unfortunately outlawed in Florida in 1989, and it's being brought back. That's right, dwarf tossing is going to be legalized in Florida again.
Because, thank God.
Yes. State senator has decided
I've been so bored.
The government. he felt the government was overstepping its boundaries when it did that, and it no more Big Brother in Florida.
Hooray.
Seriously, balance the damn budget, yeah. And then you can legalize dwarf tossing. I don't see it creating a whole lot of jobs.
Well, but on the flip side, you know, why make it illegal in the first place? Focus on balancing the budget.
A group of people who spent their time and energy. This guy didn't just wake up and be like, holy shit, let's rock some dwarf tossing again.
Well, and I tried to find stats on the guy. I wanted to know how tall he was. You know, if he's 6'4 and has a little buddy who's out of work, I want to know this stuff. Because you're right.
Is that a no-bid contract?
Seriously, I mean, who wakes up and goes, you know what we need to do is legalize dwarf tossing again? I love living in Florida.
I want the ability to wake up and say, that sounds like a good idea. Let's make that happen. So you don't even want to live in the world where that would be okay.
And every Wednesday it'll be pancakes for dinner.
With this beer. Yes.
No, it just blew my mind. Like, there may be a dwarf pack someplace that's a
dwarf pack.
It's a dwarf pack. Yeah. It's a political action committee. And, you know, they've got rights, damn it. And they should be the ones to determine their own destiny, whether they want to be tossed or not. Wow. I have no idea.
I've never been good at the drunken sports, like bowling, pool, darts. Like, I'm just not good at the drunken sports.
The biggest problem.
I wonder if I can do too much.
The biggest problem with all those sports is once you let go, it's inertia. It's pure physics. This, you've got a teammate. Once you let go, he can give a little twist to the right if he needs to.
Yeah, but then that means he could prevent distance as well. So, like, it's not. I mean, do you bring your own dwarf?
Yeah. You know, you shine them up, and you.
They don't have them just in racks in the back of the bar. Pull them down. Here's your dwarf.
Right. What size?
Pull out that little can of disinfectant. Spray them down.
Shine him up, according to Jared.
Put on your wrist guards and
you know what I mean? Okay.
Funny colored shoes.
I didn't mean them sitting on racks. I meant like if the bar was gonna have a dwarf tossing night, that like if a bar around here had a dwarf, like they would have to have like a couple dwarfs like signed up and paid. Like it wouldn't create employment.
It is gonna create jobs. And then we're good to go.
We're on track again.
Seriously. Unfortunately, this guy's out of Melbourne. So, I mean, it's East Coast. Okay. We'll never see it over here.
Let's take a field. Seriously, on-site podcast from dwarf tossing competition.
I want to see, you know, I want to see a new initiative. Bolster the economy from dwarf tossing.
Absolutely.
You know, create some jobs.
Can you imagine with the bumper stickers? Oh. Oh, that would be fun.
Have you tossed your dwarf today?
Shine your dwarf up and let's do this. Jeremiah.
Have you polished your little friend?
Oh, no.
Wow.
The silhouette. Squeak. It's dreadful.
So, yeah, I couldn't help but bring that to the table.
So so you mentioned political action committees, PACs. Facebook is laying the groundwork to create their own PAC in advance of the 2012 election. To me, this is terrifying. Terrifying.
No, why? Okay. Because they're collecting all of your information.
Facebook has all the information on everybody, and now they're going to start lobbying the government for who knows what. And this is, you know, and reading this article, it's even scarier than that. So this is joining a steady rise in their lobbying spending. They've done several high-profile fundraisers. I read one of somebody who's on Facebook used to work in Secretary of the Treasury somewhere in there through a fundraiser for President Obama that Lady Gaga attended. Like, this was just random trivia in the
wow.
It's like, what? No, but so and they've also had several try to get people involved in the company in statewide government. They've had several failed statewide bids for elections. Facebook employees. Like, do you want Facebook employees representing government? Yeah. Oh my God.
In no way, shape, or form. No. They were actually talking about with the last release, air quotes, upgrade
right.
To Facebook, where they were complaining about the the ridiculous privacy laws they have to follow.
And that's what they want to change. What? Is they want to change that, is all the privacy laws. It's
like, I get it. I choose to use your service. And I can opt in and I can opt out of a lot of stuff. But there's a line. A minimum line of protection has to be there.
It's, you got to admit, it's smart business. I mean, okay, we have to give you this guideline. You can either agree to it and, you know, you're one of our customers or not. Those of you who don't, we don't like that. So we're just going to change that line. Like, it's
right.
Wow.
Scary.
But no, so they've tripled their amount of federal lobbying since 2009 from about 200,000 to more than 730,000 this year. And yeah, a lot of their recent lobbying has focused on net neutrality and privacy issues. So that's scary shit to me.
Well, I think they're probably on the side of good for net neutrality. Yeah, would be my guess.
No.
No?
They're all about ads and prioritize network. I would doubt it.
Really?
I would think they would want to be on board because they're going to be the first tier. When the telcos so
hold down everybody else.
And tier one is Facebook. I mean,
right.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I would not be surprised if they're on the dark side.
Crap.
Yep. But it's, oh.
This is also
problem how with the government.
This is also how the robot overlords will.
Yes.
Right. Well, break
into our minds and steal our souls.
In California, they've actually just passed a law that's regulating regulation.
Okay.
Which is brilliant in its conception, right. In theory. Yep. Basically, this guy came along and goes, look, we keep making all these laws that regulate certain aspects of, you know, whatever businesses. We don't take into consideration that this costs companies money. So this whole Clean Air Act is great in theory because, you know, it gets rid of all the smog in LA and this, that, the other. But what's the economic downside for the poor businesses that have to operate in our state?
Oh, man.
Oh, Christ.
And so literally anytime a department of the government is going to set up a regulation, they have to do a cost-benefit analysis, essentially, that will sit there and say it's going to cost an industry this number of jobs. It's going to cost an industry this amount of money. It's going to cost them this, that, the other. And then they have to defend the position if it's like negative, net negative.
But that alone right off the bat is going to increase the bottom line cost of everything.
Yes. Somebody actually brought that up and they're like, no. In the long term, it'll be fine.
No.
It's more government spending.
Because so the problem is if you do it, how much is it might going to cost either way?
Mm-hmm.
So screw that if factor. Let's just make it so we always know it's going to cost a shitload.
Well, and that's they call it. So what they said was it will be like comparing everybody to the same yardstick, mm-hmm. which is great. Except
the yardstick doesn't cost a couple million dollars.
Precisely. and for every regulatory agency, it's like the DOJ having to go to the Supreme Court for an appeal, which happened for something like 6 months ago. And I'm like, wait, so we're spending money on the DOJ to go to the Supreme Court
right. That's
already ruled on something, or some other court already ruled on it. And the hell, how is this? How much is it costing?
Well, we already know the DOJ is wasting a bunch of money.
Yeah, but legal fees alone. And then we're having to pay for it on two sides of the three-sided equation.
Yep.
That's obscene.
Yep. It's, you know, it's been really funny now that, you know, fiscal spending is really becoming the hot issue. It's just really funny and sad and tragic to see how bad it really is. It is.
And I wish it were actually even more important, because as important as fiscal responsibility is in the headlines right now, mm-hmm. we're legalizing dwarf tossing again. There's actually a state senator with enough time on his hands to go, you know what, we're going to repeal this.
Yep.
Great.
After the show, we're actually going to sit outside in our air-conditioned tent, eat $16 muffins, and discuss dwarf tossing.
Yep.
Actually, and I was looking, the dwarf tossing, the fine, if you were caught in violation of it.
Oh, my God.
$1,000 fine.
Wow.
To you or to the dwarf?
Yeah, that's a big, good question.
Both, or do you split it equally?
Well, it could be the place that it's happening.
Is it like 70-30 based on mass?
You know, back alley dwarf tossing, and you get caught, you know, you're in a kitchen at some restaurant and after hours. I have no idea, but yeah, $1,000 fine. And I'm so, just, is that per?
So back alley dwarf tossing gets broken up by the cops. The dwarves always get caught Because they can't run away as fast.
No. But they can hide better.
Oh, God.
Oh, my.
At what point do you think that that crossed into wrong?
You weren't the one picturing a canine unit with a dwarf on top riding away.
Wait, no, wait. Speaking of beautiful transitions, I have a story about robots that whip camels. I'm not even joking.
I really want to know the science behind this one, why this is a thing. God.
No, it gets so much better. So, okay, in the Middle East, camel racing is huge. Like, the most expensive breeding or racing camel is like $2.5 million. These people take their shit seriously. Here's the scary part. Kids were disappearing. Like, these people were kidnapping small children to be camel jockeys. So in order to not do this, children are outlawed, and they now use these these crazy little robots that whip the camel by remote control.
Let me see this picture.
Wait, there's a video.
Oh my. No.
Pause for video. It will totally be linked on the website for you guys.
So that's, I mean, big props for ingenuity right there. Oh my, I mean, God, I'm impressed.
So disturbing.
Sally Struthers, save the children.
It just goes to show
robots.
When you're stuck in the desert with nothing else to do.
Oh, yeah.
Build a machine to beat their shit out of some camels. Yeah, I mean, you watch the video and it says it lightly whips the camels, but you watch it and it's you're beating the shit out of those camels.
And I like how it's voice activated, so the more you scream at it, the more.
And they look like they were designed by Anakin Skywalker. Right. Like, as a child, a small slave, there's this flying thing that goes, I've got this camel, I need you to beat it, but I don't want you on the camel. And this
Whoa,
is the
take that three lines out of context right now. Somebody write that down.
How do you know when a camel needs porn?
I wonder if it's easier to detect their extremities.
Oh, my God.
What does the algorithm for that look like?
Depends if it's a dromedary or not.
So how many turkey basters does?
How many humps?
Yeah. Good Lord.
So I have a little story. About keeping with robots. Story about some more robots. So the next Mars rover, this one is nicknamed Curiosity. It's the Mars Science Laboratory. And it is getting sealed up, ready to launch. Its launch window is somewhere within November, December. But this thing is going to, it's headed to Mars. It's supposed to land August 2012. And its, you know, mission is to look for organic compounds, you know, building blocks of life on Mars. So, you know, that's pretty exciting. One of the things that I love about these Mars rovers is the two Mars rovers prior to this, Spirit right. and Opportunity, who, for those who don't know, these are two rovers that they shot up there, which were supposed to drive around, you know, do soil samples, things like that. The original mission for each one of them was supposed to last 92 days, 92 Earth days. Wound up lasting for 2,269 days. These things were on Mars running from July 2004 to I think 2010 is when they finally, you know, stopped trying to communicate with them. But these things were solar powered, and it was just, you know, they picked up more energy than they were expecting, whatever, and they went for 6 years compared to, you know, 3 months that they thought were going to do. And it was always, you know, I found myself reading stories about these things because, like, one of them got stuck like a couple of years, and for the past 4 years has just been like a, you know, stationary science platform.
Right.
And I found myself reading these stories, and I'm like rooting for them. Like, come on, little guy,
you can do it.
You're doing great. Just keep at it. Come on, guy. Like, I really like I personified these rovers, like, because I think it's pretty awesome.
I think you're just a fellow robot, but whatever.
I just thought it was really cool to see, you know, this experiment go on for so much longer than they thought it was going to on Mars, another planet. I mean, that's pretty impressive as far as I'm concerned.
Can you imagine the team that they had to hire put together at like 93 days? They're like, well, shit, maybe we should bring in some more dudes.
Well, I just think they need to piggyback something else on there. like if we're looking at doing a Mars landing in the next 20 years,
right?
You know, go ahead and send some kind of platform out there, not terraforming or anything. but you know, start shipping
some kind of base station.
Yeah, something. Your baggage. I mean, we got stuff that'll go and sit around for a long time. Mm-hmm. So go ahead and, you know, just send in a second one too. What the hell? You're already going.
So let's start dropping our garbage on other planets.
Well, no, but I'm saying if you know, you load up MREs, maybe some water, do whatever, fuel processing. I mean, you could actually have some automated systems running that entire time.
Yep.
So that when people land there, voila, you've already got your return trip paid for.
Voila, Skynet.
Yep.
Assuming, you know, the world doesn't end.
But it was actually, when I was reading this article, it was actually cool because it's, they're talking about there's this rover that they're sending over. They're using a new, basically, landing system to touch it down.
Not the beach ball system?
No, basically, no. When it gets to Mars, I was reading it. I guess the way it's going to work is there's going to be like a pod that brings it down and then hovers and then lowers it with cables.
Oh.
And then detaches it, and then the pod will fly off to land safely. So it's kind of, it's a really weird like cable deployment.
That's a PR thing.
Yeah.
They're going to make a video showing that, and really it's just going to bounce around like the last ones did, and then the balloons deflate, and it just rolls off the trap. But yeah.
I thought it was pretty crazy.
Well, it's like that hypersonic plane we were talking about. Yeah, they had a beautiful graphic for that.
Right.
Yeah. Wherever it is.
Computers can make it look like anything.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is what it's going to look like. Oh, fantastic. That's amazing. And so cheap.
Little known fact, they had CGI during the moon landing. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah.
That's a whole nother show. Wow.
So it's getting towards the end of the show, and we've got a couple of stories left. And I think the theme is we're going to go out on some shit. because this story that I have is some bullshit. We've talked about, we actually had a whole episode dedicated to the population issue. The world is overcrowded. We're running out of resources, you know, things like that. So I saw this story that really made me... Oh, so there's this division of Christian churches in India who are offering rewards for big families. They're currently offering 10,000 rupees, which translate to about $200 for a couple's fifth child.
Are they buying the children? Or
nope.
It's just to have them.
So just to have them.
Okay.
So when we're in a world with stress resources, in a country that has 17% of the world's population, let's have as big of families and crank them out as much as we can. So why are they doing this?
Yes, please explain this.
Why are they doing this?
So they can outnumber the Hindus.
Yes. Campaign is in response to dwindling numbers of Christians. Yeah. Absolutely. But also not Hindus. Hinduism is also in decline. It's Muslims that are going up.
Really?
But yes, the number of Christians are in a decline. So they say, pump them out. And that's the Christian way, cultural takeover.
I mean, absolutely.
You know, nothing new. But to do something like this, that is completely
irresponsible.
So it goes on to say, you know, a spokesperson for these churches say, our campaign is for responsible parenthood, but the decision on how many children a couple should have is personal. We are against family planning. We are not against family planning. Sorry.
Whoa,
just plan to have six.
But the fact that they say it's our campaign is for responsible parenthood, but the decision should, you know, it's a personal decision, but we're going to influence you with money.
Right.
So it's $200 to just drop your fifth kid, like one time gift, happy birthday, here you go, and that's it.
So, yep. And so the counter to this is the actual, you know, people who are in charge of India. Are like, no, we've just gotten done with these studies and we're recommending, you know, strict family limits. Like if you're expecting a third child, fine, jail time, things like that.
Right.
We don't have the resources and you know, we don't have the resources for the families we have now.
Jail time for your third kid?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I understand that something has to be done about population and I literally am for birth control in the water. I'm not joking. Not joking at all. However,
I'm
the best solution to take the parents away from the family and put them in jail? Now you're going to have a whole bunch of kids.
It's I can see the logic of it. And because it's not take the parents away. It's the male. If you are a father expecting a third child, lock them up. they're you can't have babies without men. Oh, well, I don't know. I mean,
children,
right?
Children or the women. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, realistically,
camel whipping robots, whatever.
Right? These poor kids need jobs. They're being replaced by robots.
Poor things.
Oh goodness.
But yep, yep. So the rational people. I want to know
who decides. $200. That's totally worth it. I'll shit one more out.
I don't know.
Like, I want to know what it costs.
$200 is not worth it.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like,
cost to raise a child is hundreds of thousands of dollars.
In the U.S.
In the U.S., yeah.
I wonder what it costs in India.
I wonder what it costs just to shit the kid out.
Yeah. I don't, well, I mean, but that was one of the other things is, you know, they were also saying it's not just money. Like, we're going to offer, you know, free health service at our, you know, church-sponsored hospitals.
Probably schools,
like
too.
Yes, things like that, yeah. You got to indoctrinate them. If we're going to pay for them, we're going to indoctrinate them.
We got to get our hands on them and brainwash them.
Yeah. It's
brilliant. Oh, God.
Yep. So
that is some bullshit.
That is some bullshit.
Want to talk about people shit?
Sure. we weren't just doing that?
Different.
Oh, okay.
Yours was more of the metaphorical people shit. No, I'm actually talking human feces. Because let's use it. Let's recycle it. Let's make a motorcycle that runs off of it.
Sure.
Yeah. Except, here's the design. The
exhaust would smell like
shit. Oh, no. Can you imagine riding behind that thing? It's the Toilet Bike Neo. It's a Japanese company. Great
name. Yes.
Called Toto. It's a tricycle. It runs off poop. It has the seat instead of the bike seat, it has a toilet seat.
So,
like, the concept is you actually ride this bad boy without pants poop. Or you're in assless chaps, how motorcycle gang of you, and you poop to run. Like, what happens if you don't gotta go?
Does it have like a coffee dispenser built in?
I was gonna say
Indian food, but
but really, how far is that gonna get you? Like, Indian food clears your system out and then you're done for a while,
right? I mean, you'll go real fast for a while, but then you better be on the downward slide.
Who is a marathon pooper that could get this?
I just see...
Does it have an iPad on the handlebars is the question.
No, on the handlebars is a roll of toilet paper.
Does that combust as well? Is it combustion? How does it work?
They haven't released many details. But starting on October 6th, it's leaving from the Toto headquarters in Japan, and it's doing like a 600-mile tour across the country.
Test drive, I hope. I mean, I hope that he's actually...
No. No, you don't get to test drive this vehicle. You buy it or you don't get it at all.
Refunds not right, accepted.
Right.
Oh, they actually...
You want to talk about rapid depreciation.
The value just goes to shit as soon as you bring it off the lot.
Seriously, 100%. No. And if you find somebody willing to buy it, you now learn something you didn't want to know about that individual.
Wow.
Would the exhaust smell different based on what you ate? Like, could you be stuck
in traffic? Colored cloud.
Could you be stuck in traffic and know what everybody had for lunch?
Oh my god.
That guy's got a green cloud behind him. Stay away. I mean, think about it. They already recommend that pedestrians are supposed to wear respirators in the city because of all the car exhaust. Imagine if, no.
Well, and it's a tricycle, so.
Well, that's for stability.
Wait.
Every so often, you got to lift a cheek up so your legs don't fall asleep.
You know,
that's a good point.
You know, I'm starting to picture a market where this makes sense. Three-wheeled vehicles, the need to poop randomly all the time.
Old people.
South Florida.
Yeah,
totally. The retiree community. That's a perfect fit.
But that means that their bikes will be able to go super fast, which is not what we want to have old people doing right now.
Mm-hmm. Or you go for the slow burn.
Ooh, imagine one of those things getting into a wreck.
Can you imagine? You don't want to survive that shitty accident. No.
You get rear-ended. Die in the middle of an intersection, get T-boned.
Jerry, Peter is crying over poop jokes right now.
Well, they're highbrow poop jokes.
What?
I'm just saying, you know.
I just had this image of you get to wherever you're going and you go to get off your bike and you just fall over and your pins and needles in your legs and your pants are down, so your ass is out. Like, way to arrive in style.
And I'm only assuming that it's got like a built-in bidet. Otherwise, you've got a whole new set of problems when you get to your destination.
With the DP on the handlebar, though, I mean, kind of lends itself to no, right. Not necessarily. No,
yeah. But if it doesn't combust, then what are you doing? That's getting around your own human poop bags?
A big hairy biker wiping his ass at a red light. Oh, yeah. Winking at you with that one brown eye.
Really?
It's your story.
No longer you brought it here.
Oh, we need to
stop right now. And with a wink and a nudge, we're signing off. Oh, dear God.